Ready?
Sure.
Gentlemen? Okay, I'd like to call this meeting to order. We're going to have roll call, please.
President Simon.
Here.
Vice President Steele.
Here.
Director Graves.
Here.
Director Pease.
Here.
Director Wiesen.
Here.
Thank you. And we're going to dispense with the public comment because there was no public in the building. So we'll move to open session disclosure. We are now going to close session. Council, do we need anything?
Nope, just going to close session as stated on the agenda. Two items.
Thank you. Alrighty. Okay, at this time, I'd like to take us back into open session. Council?
Thank you. Yes, there's no reportable action. However, the board did continue the closed session to the end of the regularly scheduled board meeting.
Okay, at this time, we'll adjourn the...
No, you actually have one item that we haven't covered on the special agenda.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right.
Which is item F. One, purchase of pump and related equipment for Well 7 construction project under new business.
Why is it on the special meeting?
It's on the special meeting because the regularly scheduled agenda went out and we realized that there was another item that needed to be added. Okay. So rather than put together a revised regularly scheduled agenda, we just added it to this agenda.
Okay. Should we take the roll call and the Pledge of Allegiance and then address this item, or should we go ahead and address it first? Are we going to go back and forth?
You could do that. You could, Rick's got a great suggestion, which is continue item F1, unless there's somebody here in the audience that's here specifically to see that, but I didn't see anybody here at 6:30, so we're probably good. You could continue F1 to the end of the regular scheduled agenda, and then you start with the regular scheduled agenda, and you can carry on as well.
I guess that's what we will do.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Good suggestion.
Okay. At this time, call this meeting in order. Thank you. And if you'll join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Carol, would you call over?
President Simon.
Here.
Vice President Steele.
Here.
Director Graves.
Here.
Director Pease.
Here.
Director Wiesen.
Here.
Thank you. This brings us to public comments. Can we get the microphones on? During public comment, the public may address the board on any issue within the board's jurisdiction which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time that item is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. Is there any public comment? There is no public comment. We'll move on to presentations. Doc address sign program, Supervisor Pico's office. Karen Cornell.
Thank you. And thank you for putting this on your agenda. The supervisor is sorry that she wasn't able to be here tonight. She's actually speaking in Knightson on the Bay Delta Conservation Plan, so spreading the word on protecting our Delta. Just wanted to get this officially on your agenda. I know I brought it up last month under the supervisor's report, but the supervisor with Public Works and actually your group have put together a dock waterfront signage program, which is a street sign that is residents can install on their docks with their address so that you can locate a person's house from the waterfront. I have Supervisor Pico's application right now that I will turn in to you guys. I know one of your board members has submitted one as well, so we want to just continue to spread the word. Again, the signs are $50, which covers the county's cost in manufacturing the signs and then getting them to the CSC. People are able to drop off their applications and checks made payable to you guys, to the CSD, and they're due on May 16th, and hopefully we'll get them back a month later. This does not include installation. The people will have to install them themselves, but again, it's just a way to let residents know how to get to someone's house from the waterfront. I don't know if there's any questions, but that's...
Any questions from the board?
Who's is the outside company or is it?
No, it's Public Works doing it. The $50 is to cover that, and any additional monies will go back to you guys for the community center.
Any address?
Not any address, just your home address. your home address and your street with your logo. They look really nice. There's a description on the order form. And I know you guys have also posted this on your website to get the word spread.
Have you reached out to the various homeowner associations, have the water or any water lot?
We have sent 200 letters, and we'll send 200 more in May because of the rules. So we're trying to spread the word. I know that there's been an article in the Contra Costa Times. So right now we're working off, but that's a good suggestion. I will reach out to the various.
It's also in the newsletter that will be published next week.
And it's in your newsletter.
And Karen, you might want to bring some of the applications in a sample one when you're at our health and wellness fair.
Great, and I know that Rick has taken some over there as well.
Any
tell
public,
your neighbors.
Any public comment? Thank you, Karen.
Oh, then May 16th they're due for this round, and then we're hoping to bring it back, or we will be bringing it back in the fall. Just have to give Public Works time in the summer to do other projects that they're busy doing.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Okay, director's comments. Anything from Mary Ann?
Yes, I went to the P6 zone meeting.
Is your mic on?
I think so. It's got the light on.
Oh, it's on.
So here is a copy of my minutes. And their main conversation, and Karen was there, you do a beautiful job of keeping that in line. Was in regard to the SRO. There was a little bit of heated controversy between a member of the school board and the P6 committee. And they'll be meeting again in May. And then I've also attached a copy. They passed out the projected budgets summary, so I have that attached for you as well.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bill, anything?
No, not at this time.
Kevin?
Yeah, I went to both the fire district and aviation advisory committee meeting, and the only thing I will say is that there's a huge increase in private flying, and so both Buchanan and Byron are working hard to try to capture some of those people here. There's going to be a lot more opportunity for employment with regards to mechanics because of the private planes that are flying, and so they've established a new phone number, which is 844 fly to us. They're accepting e-payments, and they have a new website, and they're doing what they can to attract and retain those that they have, and that will be good for Byron. The only other thing that was of note is that the board of supervisors did agree through their committee that they would not have a CPI, a consumer price index increase for the tenants this year in part of that retention plan. So no increases if you have an existing hangar. Other than that, not much. The fire department had a little workshop after their meeting, and they are still trying to, they still think they can get something on the ballot for November, or at least they're still addressing whether or not they can get something on the ballot for November. But all of the indications, nothing's changed. I mean, it's almost identical to what it was the last time they did it, and all the surveys and everything else do not look positive for. So they're trying to retain their you know, the firemen are leaving, they're quitting and going to other districts because they were working for cheap anyway, and now if they're not going to have a job, they're, so we've got some, you know, the usual real concerns with our fire district and what kind of coverage we have.
Chris?
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, on April 3rd, I went to the Byron Union School District meeting. Just want to give you a heads up, there's a Vista Oaks Academy. It's a charter school concept, and they petitioned the school board to open another charter school, but they don't have a location yet, so they're trying to get adopted. Also, all the kids at all district, obviously the mine teams, did go to the state competition, so that was a good thing. These kids go out and put together projects and compete against all these other schools, so that was a good one on the top. And the Common Core is rolling out into the community, and there was another presentation on how they're going to try to meet those Common Core standards. I did go to the LAF committee on April 9th, and there was an MSR update, a public hearing on that, and there was identified that Byron and Discovery Bay have some overlap on the maps, but it was an overview of all the MSRs in the county, and there's going to be some more work on how that, how those overlaps and the money that's involved there. It was interesting to learn that San Joaquin County is actually the LAFCO for Byron.
Byron Bethany's BBID, Byron
BBID,
Bethany Irrigation District,
BBID, right.
Not the town,
yeah.
but the water district.
Yeah.
And they're in three counties, and so, sorry, Chris, San Joaquin County is their primary responsibility. But our Board of Supervisors, and especially the supervisor from our district, has a really good relationship with San Joaquin County because of all the work, right, Karen, with all the work she does on the water board, and so they work commonly together, so that probably is not going to create any issues.
Was that just informational and it was informative?
Thank you. I have nothing.
Can I tag on two things that Chris mentioned? One is that the reading of the MSR, that was the first reading of the public hearing. It'll be going back to the board, to the LAFCO board again for final adoption, either at the May or June meeting. And with respect to Odyssey of the Mind, they have achieve something that's pretty amazing. They're the only school, one of two schools in all of California to reach this goal. And so if it pleases the board, we're going to have a nice little send-off for them at our next board meeting congratulating them as they go on to Iowa City, Iowa.
Wow.
Championship. So we'll get them in here and have a little market. Congratulations on behalf of the town of Discovery Bank.
Yeah,
nice little river
run. Consent calendar. If anybody has any questions on consent calendar, can I get a motion?
So moved.
Second.
You. Any discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to a new business. I'm going to bring item F that we carried over as our first item in new business. This will be to purchase pump and related equipment for Well 7 construction project. Rick?
Mr. President, members of the board, as was indicated to you prior to the conclusion of the special meeting at the beginning of this meeting, this item did come late to us in the agenda process. We actually got the agenda out a little bit earlier than we normally do. Had we been on time and on the schedule, it would have gone normally. So that's why we posted the agenda as soon as we could. But this is for the purchase of a pump for Well 7. From pump repair service in the amount of $186,715. Ludorf and Scalmanini and Virgil's team, as you know, been working on Well 7. We drilled the well back earlier in the late fall, early spring. And that well has been drilled and capped. This is the next component of that is to acquire the pump. Now that the pump has been sized properly, we received actually today the plans and specs from the engineering firm to be able to go to bid on the well housing and the piping that connects everything from the well to the treatment plant. This does have a lead time of about 6 months. It is a sole source purchase as it is a pump that we routinely try to utilize to maintain consistency, repairs, and that sort of thing. So that's the item before you this evening.
What amount did you set up the budget for this?
It's in the master plan, and it's also in the projects of capital finance projects. And Greg's going to get into the budget on those today. But it looks like on this project, we're at this point close to being on target.
Is it a magic construction potion that we have?
Hmm?
It says the final construction potion of the project. Just wonder if that's a magic potion.
Portion. Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, push and
made
spell check, obviously.
All right. Is there any questions from the board? Public comment? I get a motion?
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Item 1F. Award of contract for the secondary improvement project to Anderson Pacific Engineering Contractors in the amount of $5,427,680.
I in the 4 years that I've been here, Mr. President, members of the board, I believe this is the largest contract that you will have awarded, at least since I've been here, and I'm not even sure in the district's history for a one-time contract. This is a big one for us. This is the secondary improvement project. It consists of an oxidation ditch and clarifier. Greg can get up and explain the actual project in a little bit more detail. We had a public bid opening last week. Anderson Pacific Engineering was the low bid at $5.427 million. And Greg is going, and it's part of the CIP master plan as well as a product list, as well as included in the list of capital finance projects. And Greg's going to give a little bit of update on that as our district engineer.
Hi, Gregory Harris, Sherwood Engineering, district engineer. So, this is a project that's been unwinding for a while. We've been planning for quite a while. It was the third of the big projects. It's the biggest of them. But the first one was the Headworks Improvements Project we did. It's almost wrapped up. Solids handling was a total budget about $400.6 million. So in the ballpark of this, we wrapped that up earlier this year. And this is the last big project that was considered out of the master plan recommendations for both redundancy improvements and to get some additional capacity for infill lots in Discovery Bay community. So the bids were very good. We had two bids that were very close together, another one very close behind, and then a group of three behind that. So we reviewed all the bids. They look very consistent. We talked to the Anderson Pacific, reviewed the references and things, and we recommend moving forward with the project.
Questions from the board?
I noticed also when I reviewed the report that the bids were, for this size of the project, I would consider extremely close, even though,
Even between the high and low, that is correct. You know, the high was 5.9, and we were at 5.4. Yeah. So all the bids were within 10%, and then three of the bids are within like 2%, and the one and two bids were less than 1% apart.
Yeah. But my question is, I know that this was probably specced out a while ago. What was the engineer's estimate at the time?
Yeah, that's a good question. The engineer's estimate originally for the project in the master plan, the original estimate in the master plan was a little over $5 million. We had done some things to cut the cost down, and I had talked to you about that previously. When we had bids come over at the infill pump station, we said we need to do some things to try to reduce the cost of the secondary project and make up for the shortfall. When we went over budget on the infill pump station. So the original engineer's estimate in the master plan was a little over $5 million for it. And we cut out some structures and tried to reduce some costs and really what we thought got it down to just the minimum that needed to be. And when we did that, we lowered the estimate from the master plan estimate to $4.7 million, which was what we thought the $300,000 goal that we had to save out the project. Now, in terms of what we cut, we think the value was worth $300,000, so we felt comfortable with that. However, these bids are higher than that. These bids are higher than the original estimate, and they're certainly higher than our goal, which was to save $300,000. So the engineer's estimate was $4.7 million, and there's a lot of reasons why this has gone up. But what is most telling is the secondary improvement total budget was around $6 million. So the master plan budget, including engineering and construction management and all that, is $6 million. But the construction portion of that, it was a little over $5 million, like 5.1 and 5.2 is the construction portion of that, because we still have design, you have construction management, and then things that have to occur. So we tried to save $300,000, and we tried to recoup the money we were over on the Headworks project, and that was our goal for this project. And what is most striking is, why didn't we achieve that goal? And that's our first question. In fact, we called the contractors to ask about that. So we talked with Steve Hall, who is the project manager for Anderson Pacific. And we said, we were coming in here at 4.7. We had cut some structures. We got this pretty tight. And, what he told us is he was also surprised. And he said, in fact, on bid day in the morning, they were under $5 million. They were at he said in the 4.8 range. And he said, all during the day, as they got their material prices. So they based their bid, and they had all the plug numbers in based on what they'd done before. You know, so they looked at projects they'd done before, concrete before, electrical before, and they had their build all filled out, and then they're getting final quotes from sub-suppliers. And he says, all day long, it just kept going up. And they ended up at 5.4. But he says, we started the morning on bid day. We were under $5 million. We were in the 4.9 range. So, and now what he also went on to tell me is that the last five jobs they bid, engineers been low bidder, you know, and basically the same things occurred where there's been some escalation in prices, inflationary escalations in steel, copper, and concrete that have driven up costs from what even they were anticipating at bid day. So basically that was their attribution, because they said, yeah, we when you first put this out and we looked at it, we thought we were in there at your estimate, you know, but they weren't on bid day. And that's basically the long and short of it. But basically, as a condolence to us, he's saying, you aren't the only one. This has happened to the last five engineering firms. Every project we've bid since January. Basically, everything since January has gone this way. So the bids are about 10% higher over the engineer's estimate. Over the original project estimate, they're not as high. They're about 0.5% or 5% higher. But we, again, have tried to save that goal. And we have tried to get the project into 4.7. We have cut the project to the minimum that it is. I mean, there's nothing left. There's just a clarifier, an oxidation dish, the minimum piping we need, some structures to split the flow. So with the Headworks project, remember the bids came in really high, we said, hey, wait a minute, we know we can save some money on that. We went and redesigned it and bid it and saved $300,000, you know. We're not gonna be able to do that here. There's nothing to redesign. So in that light, you know, we're recommending. In fact, we feel if you wait, the price will just go up. I mean, that's our feeling now, is if you were to try and do something, the price will just go up. You know, because there's definitely an inflationary push in the market, and as reported by the contractors bidding the job, I mean, actually now we've talked to two of them, and they're all saying the same thing, the prices are going up. As we look at, and I'll get into the CIP projects as a whole, what we see is all the projects we did earlier are all under budget. And as they got longer into the process, you know, they got higher over budget, and then that's basically where we've ended up today. So that's how we see it. But that is the comparison of the bid cost to the engineer's estimate and the contractor's explanation of where they thought the cost went.
Thank you.
Great. Let me ask you a question. So at this point, should we reevaluate every project we're looking at doing in the future?
Well, one thing that's important is the master plan was completed in 2011. And then there was a Hoffman redraft in 2012 where they said, hey, you didn't include some homes and we had the supplement and some stuff like that. You know, it's 2014 now, and those estimates are 2 years old. You know, so that's based upon the cost of construction of materials at that time. And it's certainly the case that the longer you go away from the original estimate, you know, inflation is gonna push up. I mean, you do need to consider an inflationary factor as you go farther down the road, because the prices was based at the time of materials, the cost of labor, you know, when the estimate was made, you know. And so there wasn't since you never know when you're gonna build it, you don't know, you know, you wouldn't know what inflationary factor to adjust it to down the road, you know, for instance.
I think the question I have is that you've got a Anderson Pacific who does this for a living.
Yeah.
Who on the day of the bid was $627,000 less than they ended up, and they went up $627,000 that day. They're not on top of the market knowing that it hasn't changed in the last 2 years. Don't they do this every day?
They do it every day. That's what I'm saying. They were there, and I think they said about $500,000 more, so maybe not quite the full 600, but they were close to our number, maybe not the same number. But he said, we were close, but we went up $500,000 on bid day from the numbers that we had invested. So clearly, what they're saying is people that bid jobs every single month, every single week, they bid jobs. They've been surprised that all the, you know, different things that happen. Now, every job has different things, so they'll see inflation on this job, but maybe that stuff's not in this job, right? So now it comes around to our job that's got, you know, a lot of concrete. We have a lot of concrete, a lot of earthwork in our project. There's a lot of concrete, so it's very sensitive to the cost of concrete. In this particular case, I know thousands of cubic yards of concrete. There's thousands of cubic yards of concrete in our job. So a little movement in that is a big material cost shift. You know, for us, also shoring electrical, they said was higher than you know, they were talking. So, in answer to your question, they were surprised also, and now they said this is the fifth time this has happened to us. They're starting to kind of get in this mode of, hey, prices are pretty fluctuating out there, and no, they don't know the prices on things.
Councilor Jenkins.
I was going to mention to you, even on bid day, the morning around 8 o'clock in the morning, a sub came out to the site, wanted to view the site. When we questioned him, why were you visiting now? And he said, well, I have a bid due later this week. And I said, no, it's due today at 2 p.m. He said, well, that ain't going to happen, I guess. And I said, well, then I guess you're not going to get the job. But subs were coming in pretty late. Maybe they're booked up with work, I'm not sure, but.
That one thing is true, is the bidding market has been substantially different since the beginning of the year, you know, in terms of activity, the number of bids, contractors are bidding, things like that. Subs are charging more. There's, you know, basically people are getting busy enough that they feel like they can either need to recoup costs or need to charge more, you know, to be on project.
Okay.
So my concern is that now we have $700,000 that we're now over budget in the CIP going forward, based on the monies that are available through the bond, right? Because we didn't make up the money that we lost.
That is correct. I have a full CIP update for tonight, including.
Do we have a copy of that?
I have the handout.
It's coming up in
the agenda.
It's coming up.
As soon as we authorize, we can jump on that topic.
Okay.
I'll give you a handout.
Okay.
And
all right.
We'll go through that.
I'll hold
but
that comment until then.
It is a good question, and yes, we need to address that.
Okay. Any other questions? No. Any public comment? Questions asserts me. I call for the motion.
Move staff's recommendation.
Second. Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. Item 2. Resolution number 2014-07, authorizing the submittal of a grant application to the San Francisco Bay Water Agency Quality Improvement Fund. Rick?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This item is a grant with the environmental U.S. EPA relative to the San Francisco Bay Water Quality Improvement Fund. They have $5 million to award this funding cycle. In their documentation, they indicate that it will be a range from approximately $800 to $2 million per award. So you're probably only looking at two or three awards for the most out of this. This is an annual opportunity that comes up every year, or at least it's been funded every year by Congress for this region. I spoke to the representative with the EPA on this, and we talked about some of the projects that are coming up on our horizon relative to the new MPDES permit, and relative to the first project, which is the filtration project, which is, as you recall, you awarded the design contract for, I believe, about a month ago. The second project that's included in the MPDES permit, which will be in the second five-year cycle, but it is required. There are a number of items that we need to comply with in the first five-year cycle, assuming the permit gets approved at the June meeting, is the nitrate removal. When I spoke to the representative with the EPA, they were very excited about the nitrate removal. They weren't as excited about the filtration project. So I discussed with Gregory about different opportunities and possibilities and how do we want to go about doing this project, submitting this grant application. We submitted for filtration. The thought is that we might not have as beneficial of a chance of receiving that, of getting money for it. And while it is a big project and it does help to clean up the water, filtration is filtration and it's being done all over the region and it's something really new. Where nitrate removal is new and it's not, it hasn't been being done over the region. So they're excited about that. One of the items that we talked about at the staff level, as well as with the board, is in 5 years, within the next five-year cycle, we're going to be doing a number of studies to determine whether or not nitrate removal is actually required scientifically in our area right here, and whether or not the board would consider in the next permit cycle possibly relieving some of those requirements. Probably unlikely, but certainly worth an effort if it's going to be a $5 million project. So after discussing with the district engineer, Gregory Harris, we felt that even though the chances of the filtration probably are not as high as it would be moving forward than the nitrate project at this point in time, since it is an annual project, here it is an annual funding cycle, we're going to go ahead and stick with the filtration at this point. It does require a 50% match. If we did get 50% of the project, it would certainly be beneficial I'm not sure if any of you are aware, but whenever you contaminate, I use the term contamination with federal monies, it contaminates all the dollars. They all become part of the process. And the bureaucratic record keeping when you're dealing with federal dollars is much more stringent than it is dealing with your own dollars in the county and state monies. There's probably about a 20% overhead burden on that. And Dina's team will be very happy with me once that project comes forward, because there's going to be new staff involved with that, at least from a part-time basis. So we want to go ahead and move forward with the filtration application. This provides that opportunity to do that. And depending on what happens with nitrate moving forward, we'll come back and revisit that in future funding cycles.
Okay, so we need a motion. Is there any questions for the board?
You said this is federal dollars?
Correct. And there's a 50-50 match, and we're going to match it anyway because we're going to have, it's a $5 million project, yes. And they get $2 million, we're going to be matching it anyway.
What other federal dollars does the district get right now?
We don't get any.
So this will be the first time we get federal dollars?
Yes.
So Rick, let me ask you this question. Let's say they only give us $750,000 and we're not prepared to go forward with this project yet. What happens?
It's a 4-year period. We will be up and running by then.
That's all I need to know.
Yeah. We have to have it completed in 5 years anyway, so we just spend that money first.
I just hope we have the 4 years up and done at the time.
I agree. I think it's worth the effort.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Go after the funding. We get it. We don't. We didn't lose it.
If they came back and said it's $50,000, we'll give you $50,000 or $75,000, I would probably come back to the board and say thank you.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
The Bureau, because once you do that, all $5 million are now part of the federal process. And it becomes a much more bureaucratic time stamp.
Okay. Any comments?
Yeah.
Public comment? Can I get a motion?
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Item 3, agency comment request, development plan application, DP 14-3017. That's Fantasia's?
Yes, it is, and I'm bringing it up here. We got an agency comment request late last week from the county. I had gotten wind of this, that this might be coming up, and this has to do with Fantasia's development plan that has been previously approved by the county and by the county board of supervisors. Evidently, Reclamation District 800 was concerned about the shoring wall. If you remember, the walls on the Fantasia's project were going to be straight vertical walls versus the riprap that most people have that are on deep water right now. They have the rock riprap. So what ended up happening is they went back to the county and said, we want to have this project have riprap instead of shoring walls. If you look at page 46 of 114, they basically lose an entire bay out of this. They go from 127, I believe, to 105 deep water homes. In the 40 page 46 here, it shows very well the what impact on one sheet of paper will have on the project. It's still the same number of homes, but it does change dramatically.
It was all configurations.
It reconfigures the entire project. And while we don't have any land use say, we certainly have the ability to comment on it. As did Rec 800 with their project. So it's certainly up to the board to make a recommendation to the county as to which of the two projects they would like to see. I've had conversation with Mark Armstrong, and I'm actually surprised he's not here. And while he is okay with it, he needs to say he's not very happy about it.
Wait a minute. I thought you said that Fantasia's came back to the county and said they want to go to riprap.
Rec 800 did.
I thought you said Fantasia's did.
Rec 800. This is Rec 800's recommendation.
You got me. I thought you said Fantasia's.
But let me tell you something. We got two homes over here in what's the bay that has Marina?
Drake. Oh, but Drake's.
No. Different. Marina Circle. Whatever that bay is there. There's two homes now there that they're putting in
shoring walls
because they're losing. Patterson is lost their, is losing their deck, and the home next door is losing part of their deck, and they're getting rid of the rock because it landslid on them.
That's
and
they
it's kicking
up. They did that on Drake's for years.
And they're putting up the walls, so I'm not sure.
There's
somewhere down there at the end, the big house with the office.
Yeah.
Oh, over here.
Yeah.
Too. So I'm not sure that that's the right way to go. But I'm not an engineer. I'm just saying.
That is quite a different configuration.
It was just something that I understand the conversations that I had with Mark Armstrong about that had to do with Rec 800s. They plan on putting in a Prop 218 district to maintain the levees in that area. A separate 218.
Maintain with the levees? You have to bring rock in all the time?
They're concerned about the long-term maintenance. The rock is easier to replace. That would be a
when they had the original approval, did they not, wasn't Rec 800 part of the original approval?
They certainly commented on it. I don't know what their comments were at the time.
So what's our action on that?
There are recommendations.
The normal recommended action from this board on items like this is you have no negative comment, and that's the letter that we sent. I suspect that this will be a little bit different.
Yeah, I disagree with not knowing the engineering thought process at Rec 800, and I wouldn't want to go there, but it doesn't make sense to me to have the riffraff, if you will. I think the community in the long term would actually, from an enhancement standpoint, from a water standpoint, from maintenance standpoint for the homeowner, be much better to have the shoring put in, riffraff. So I'd like to send that recommendation back.
Around the world they're using it. I mean,
So with no recommendation from us, basically it's going to become what Rec 800 wants. I'm assuming it'll be an evaluation rate.
I would suggest, and if we're in consensus, and it appears that we are, that we send back a comment that says that we are not in favor of changing from the original plan.
That's right.
The if you look at that page 46 of 114 that shows the two plans, we can draft a letter that basically states that the board supports the approved final development plan approved by the Board of Supervisors on December 3rd, 2013. I would basically leave it at that.
I would give you guidance. I would like to give you guidance to do that if the rest of the board agrees.
I agree.
Any other discussion on the board? Public comment?
Yeah, I would also suspect one last thing, that Rec 800 has a certainly much larger influence on the subject than we would. But it certainly does influence us from a aesthetical standpoint.
Yeah. Well, it's more than that. It's bringing more water lots into play, and this is a water community, and what we want.
There's a chance it takes profitability, no profitability, have to cut out 60 homes or 70 homes.
We want water lots.
Let's get
a motion for this.
Do we need a motion for this?
Quick clarification. Would you like me to add that this, because it removes water lots from a water-based community and from an aesthetics, we'd like to see it the same as this?
I would prefer that we not rely too heavy on aesthetics, because that just says we don't like the landscape.
Homeowner made.
Based on us being a water community that currently is based by having, waterfront property base and water availability, deep water lots.
Can you bring the letter back to the board before you send us a letter?
What's it do?
Let me guess, it's due by May.
Prior to May 8th, so theoretically we can bring it back on May the 7th.
Okay.
That's a little short-term for those things.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way to communicate through email, possibly, and we could all...
I think that we've given guidance. Do you have any questions with what we're talking about?
I will draft a letter. I will review it with the board president.
Yeah,
the board president has any concern at that point in time.
Then we'll bring it on the 7th.
Then we can bring it back on the 7th, but I don't suspect that.
Let me get a motion to reflect that.
So moved. Second.
Any further discussion? Public comment? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, thank you. Okay. Let us move on to informational items only. Capital improvement program update. Thank you, Karen.
I don't know why. Oh, I know Brian. You're no Brian.
Brian, get off my back.
This one?
I brought a book. We're going to start simple and then see where it goes. A little bit more fluff up on there. More fluff up there.
We're starting on the short page?
Yeah. You probably don't need to see the master plan. Yeah, right there. Anyway, short vice president.
Go, move.
Okay. Okay, Gregory Harris, Herman Engineering, District Engineer. So, last time we talked about an update to the CIP. And this is an update to the CIP. So, as we talked before, and we've been giving you regular updates, I've condensed the information to one simpler document, and I also have the original things we've always talked about with you as a second page, so if you want to see the more detail. So this just shows the total status of the project. It doesn't show a breakdown of what's in the project and where we're status with that. The breakdown's on the second page. Okay, so for now, this is where the project stands, okay? And we've gone through all the invoicing and things as of the end of March 31st, plus received bid results and things like that, and all those are incorporated into this. So it's a combination of actual costs and bid costs that we've now received so that we can project forward where we're going to stand on certain budget items. So not all the money is spent, but it is now essentially being contracted for based on board votes. So these are the same projects we talked about before. We have the fiber optics project, which is, you'll see on the far right column, we have the status of the project. So is it completed or where is it? So the fiber optic project is completed. We have the original bond allocation amount, if there was one, the original CIP budget, the actual amount spent, and essentially the progress overage. A negative amount would mean you were under budget. So a negative amount means you're under budget. And the project status, that's what's on this piece of paper. So fiber optics is completed. We connected a fiber line between the two plants, got connected to Comcast. Everything was, you know, much improved now on that system, and that came in under budget. UB improvements, they had a bond allocation of $250,000, a CIP budget $250,000, it took about $158,000. So again, we were under budget and that project is complete. Solids handling facilities was the longest project we had. It was actually started before the master plan was completed, and we finally completed that project this year. Original CIP budget was $651,000. And we were $400,000 in a budget as of completion on that project. Pump Station W was started last year, had an original budget of $1.7 million, and it was over budget. It was redesigned, and it reduced the cost of it, but it was still over budget. We were aware of that at the time. And it was $561,000 over budget. There's about 3 months left on that project, and it'll be completed.
Do you anticipate any increased cost overruns on that project?
Yes, I do, and that's included in this number.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm anticipating about $25,000, and it's in this number. Second year improvements is the bid we just received. The bids were, the estimate was originally $6 million total project cost, okay? And though the bid you just authorized was $5.4 million, with engineering, construction management, geotechnical, surveying, all that, the total project cost is now escalated to $650,000, and that's a shortfall of $511,000. One element we do want to point out is that there is contingency money included in this bid to handle reasonable change orders. So just like on the inflow pump station project, there's $1.7 million. You might end up with $25,000 in changes because it was a budget to handle a certain amount of change orders. So at the moment, we don't anticipate a lot of movement off of that number because there is some money in that number to handle change orders. In fact, there's $200,000 in the number to handle change orders. Lift Station F, which was bid earlier this year, had a CIP budget of $500,000. Bids came in around $700,000 and was over about $195,000, et cetera. Pump Station F is under construction and will be completed in August of this year. And secondary improvements, the bids have just been received. Okay. Outstanding CIP projects that we've been tracking as a group, you know, there's more than CIP, but the real capital projects, collection SCADA system improvements, collection system pump station improvements, are basically nothing's occurred on those projects, that they're simply tracked and there's been no work towards those projects at the moment. Work will begin towards those projects now that all these other projects, you know, you can see they're next on the list, basically. So work will begin sometime this summer on those projects.
Are you anticipating them coming in budget?
Well, we have a little more control over that because it's a lot of little stations with different things. So, you know, you can always like do one, but then say, okay, let's not do that one. You know, you have a little more flexibility, whereas the other projects are all wrapped into one.
And I might add that those two projects, the collection skate improvements and the collection system pump stations, those are multi-year projects. That's just the number that's in there. Now, we knew we needed to put money away for them, and so we anticipated. That's why some of them haven't started, especially on the SCADA. We want to wait for these other projects to be completed, because as those projects are being constructed, it includes upgrades of the SCADA with them. So we want to wait for these projects to get wrapped up, and then we'll go ahead and complement the rest of the SCADA system.
So those budgets are basically, we know we need improvements. We don't have exact scopes of works for those improvements, but we know we need to start saving money for them, and that's where they're in the budget. So, and since it deals with multiple facilities at a smaller scale, it is a little easier to adjust, you know, where you spend the money. And then the last item on there is, we've mentioned this before, there is a bond contingency that was placed in the bond of $300,000. At the moment, I've left that unassigned, so we haven't said it's automatically, we should just apply it to this or not. I'm just making you aware that there's $300,000 in the bond that's not assigned to any CIP project at the moment, okay? Well 7 is the last project. The project is about 50% complete, because you guys have dug the well, there's some other things, been tracking costs. We received a cost estimate from Ludorf and Scalmanini this morning, and at the moment, they're still showing the project tracking on cost. So, you know, you've spent about half the money, and they said, you're gonna go out to bid on what's left. Based on their estimate, you're basically right in around this dollar amount in terms of that. So no guarantee in the current bidding climate, but that's at least the projection as of today.
So my comments would be, Greg, that stuff happens. But I'm not as concerned about the $500,000 over cost overrun on the current project as much as I am as $200,000 cost overrun on a $500,000 project. That's ugly. That's just really ugly on Lift Station F. And so it looks to me like no matter how you cut it, at very best, we're still going to have a $400,000 shortage at the end of the. At very best, we'll have a $400,000 shortage at the end of these completed projects. Over and above when the bond money runs out. Rick, what do we have in reserves?
In our fund balance reserves?
In our reserves.
Close to $5 million.
How much?
Close to five. Okay. I think we're at 4.7.
What's there for? Okay.
On Lift Station F, just to remind the board, literally at the last minute we did the bond financing, it was thrown in just as we didn't even do any engineering on it. We put in $500,000. Mm-hmm. The scope was much smaller. It wasn't until the Water Wastewater Committee got together with Bioli and Joe Haley at the time when he was here, as well as Greg and Virgil, and made the determination after Greg put together a very extensive analysis of which was the best way to go, just do some pumps or do the rehab, and we went with the rehab. So
that's true.
We went into it a little with a little bit different scope from the very beginning, and we came out of it.
Any discussion? Board?
And then the second page is the same page I presented to you before, because there's been questions about how much for design, how much for construction, and that page is broken down here for you. The numbers all total out the same, whichever page you look at. The answer, bottom line answer, is still the same. But since I want to be consistent, I want to present that information again so you can see where the dollars are being spent on the different projects. For design, for construction, permitting, you have the little things that are presented in there. And there's a, you know, fancy chart.
Any public comment?
Thanks, Greg. I do remember, yeah, right before we went right before we went to Mass Yellow with that final number that we just did start considering lift station F, so I don't want to be sounding more harsh than, but it still looks pretty ugly.
Not bad for a guess. Not bad for a complete guess. Never looked at it.
It's going to work. Well,
swag.
If you can do that without it never seeing it, say, then let me know.
Overall, we're getting done what we need to get done, and it's not the Bay Bridge, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Nothing's rusting over there yet.
Nothing's rusting there yet. There are some, we do coatings now, retrieval plants to keep things from rusting. I will say, though, in general, if you look at just simple inflation from the date of the original estimates, the numbers would be just 2% inflation for 2 years, kind of stuff. It's not crazy, but it is higher than we anticipated, and we have to come up with that shortfall, and it does mean budgets, and it does mean where to get the money. Those are our issues, so that's why we track it so carefully.
Thank you.
Nice job. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Berman, it's your turn. Delia.
Rick, are we supposed to do March or February?
Well, you missed February.
Do February, March?
Just throw it all together. I'm sorry, Mr. President.
Thank you. Kevin allowed me to say that good film.
I'm going to move over.
Rick, can you turn the blower off the air conditioner? Somebody's so loud here, you can't hear anything they're saying.
Well, good evening. I'll try to go through this pretty quick. I haven't looked at February for a month. So.
That's because it was too much.
Sorry, I didn't make it. I was kind of busy at SSO. That same night. The only thing that on this section right here that I want to mention to Kevin Egg, that now he had received his grade one water certificate and began training in both water. So now we have three that are on-air technicians that are dual certified, and they're doing both water and wastewater. They're being located.
How long does it take to get a certificate like on-air?
Well, they have tests twice a year, similar to the wastewater facility, wastewater program, and the wastewater requirements are more stringent than water. For grade one, basically, you really don't need any qualifications. You just need to get some education, take a King Curry course, and take the exam. So it's dependent on how long it takes you to take the King Curry course.
So these are new employees?
Well, yes, Kevin, who's a new employee.
Glasses for me?
No. If it was here,
you're holding your glasses in one hand and squinting in the other.
Okay, the monthly reports, there was nothing out of the ordinary for the monthly reports in February. And there's the water services, the labs. I can't really see what those numbers are.
Was there anything that stood out in the month?
But I don't think that there was anything that really stood out.
Yeah, we can read them. Read the numbers, no big deal.
I think if I recall in February, the big item was the incident with the 8-inch line, the bypass of the oxidation ditch. That was a big thing that happened in February. And of course, the CCTV and the cleaning hadn't been picked up yet. Lift station pump F, number one, failed in February, but in March, we ended up having a catastrophic failure because we were down to one pump. That pump got ragged up, and we couldn't isolate it. The valves couldn't close just to shut the flow off. So we ended up having to get vapor rent, bringing a pump or pressure pump down the wet well low enough so we could open up those valves and de-rag it. It took us like 2 days.
Wow.
Reverted to SSO, but I tell you what, Kirby, I take my hat off to those guys. Those guys are really hard workers.
I like to add on that. These guys are out there 24 hours a day monitoring that. So I know that some of you that live in the area probably saw that or went by and noticed that they were out there.
And we had a lot of work in wastewater maintenance here. Larry Wellmet came and was helping us. And we started switching the UV channels every month per the recommendation of State Water Resources Control Board. We had more troubles with the Modicon system on Willow Water Treatment Plant. And that went into the month of March also. Okay, yep. On
going to, are we full strength employee-wise? Are we full strength employees, or are we down?
We are now. We, Aldrich Mayo, he started on Monday, took the maintenance supervisor position, and Bernie Sadler is continuing on to train Mayo for a month or 2 months, whatever long it takes. So we have actually an extra person for a while. There was nothing extraordinary in the training, and the reports weren't typical.
Are we on target for the manhole inspections?
Yes. The, what I wanted to mention here, we had, we participated in the groundwater monitoring program, and what we had to do for that, we had to shut the wells, all the wells off for about approximately 12 hours. And early in the morning, we had a problem where the discharge pressure went down below 20. So I had to report that to the Department of Public Health, and I sent them a letter. We took additional back T samples to verify that the water was good water. So right here under bacteriological test results, typically it would be like 16, but we had to take an additional 5. So we ended up having to take 21 samples for the month. And here's the lab. What I wanted to show you real quick right on the lab is if you look at the flows, if you look at the daily flow average and the daily discharge flow average, they're really close. It's 1.27 and 1.26. And I think that's reflective of the flow meters that we put in. If you recall, we had some discrepancy with the flow meter. Yeah. Now this month actually does reflect that change. And what came in is pretty close to what went out. Again, with the next slide, the NPDS, we had SSO on the 19th. And we had approximately less than 100 gallons that were drained into the man-made lakes as a result of a plug that a contractor put in. He put in the wrong line.
Wait, do we know what the fine is going to be for that? Any idea?
No, but the contractor and the gentleman sitting to my left are very well aware of it.
The CCTV for the end of March, we flushed approximately 7,000. Here today was about 65%. As of today, we're like 5,000 feet short. So we're going to make the 66,000 by the end of the month. But, you know, a lot of work was done this month, which will be reflected for next month. Again, I mentioned the lift station app. We had a catastrophic failure, SSO.
On the, before we go on there, on the CCTV monitoring, where are we as far as our process? You had 34%, but I know we got started a little late in that process this year. Where should we be at this point?
In my opinion, we should be done.
Okay.
And we're pretty close. So hopefully next year, you know, thanks to you, you've drawn a lot of attention to that issue. So hopefully next year we're going to be able to get some more assistance getting that done sooner.
When is the done date? Is it
May 1st.
May 1st, okay. Yes. So our cycle is May to May.
They have to go in and do this cleaning first. They clean all the lines first, and after they clean them, they send the camera. And so it's not just as simple as going in and throwing the cameras, and it's a two-part process. And it usually happens this time of year. That's what happened last year, the year before, the same time. I think last year they were done a little bit earlier, but not much.
It's pretty close to that. That's right.
I could add on to that. Monday, when the camera crew was out there, the camera crew one out there, they did notice something. They brought that to our attention. We went out there. We have a manhole in the lakes that is about 18 feet deep. And we had water pouring into that down below, clear water, and we're not sure if it's being influenced by one of the man-made lakes there, or is it being influenced by groundwater. but we do have a high amount of water coming in that was picked up by that camera. Had that camera not gone to that, it probably would have ran for quite a while. So now we're trying to address that and trying to get that fixed.
And when the camera was, when it was clean, the week, 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before, there wasn't any water going through, so it was just a very short period of time when it started up.
So how long has this been going on?
Well, we probably assume maybe a week or two, we're not positive.
It's still running?
Yeah. We have to do is dig a, have to open that street. We'll have to go down 18, 19 feet deep with a backhoe, which is generally a big backhoe, an excavator with traps on it, to, in order to dig that, in order to seal that manhole up.
What are we going to do then?
We're working with the Hoffman Company on that part of it right now.
We just got this on Monday. This is all
Monday, Tuesday.
Yesterday, I think we got pictures. Mm-hmm. All brand new.
I have visions of the phone call coming at 3 o'clock in the morning when the streets of the lakes are venomous.
Gone away?
Gondolas are being ordered as we speak.
Okay, and the wastewater, the only thing that's really outstanding is that the State Water Resource Control Board came in to review that incident that occurred in regard to the bypass on the top station ditch. I just wanted to look and kind of get a physical correlation to what was in the letter. And again, we switched to UV channels. For water, CalSTAR came out a few times to troubleshoot Willow Wastewater Treatment Plant. We have a failed Monocom PLC module, and that has since been replaced, and it's working fine now. And we're working on the backlogs. I mean, it's coming down. Now we have Bernie, and then it's going to continue to go down. Now we have Mayo. Alder DeMayo, like we call him Mayo. Any questions?
Not a one. Any questions for the board? The public is left, so there's no public comment. Thank you very
much. Thank you. Night.
Actually, the young lady who's taking a class, and part of her class requirement was to attend a board meeting.
Oh, I wish she would introduce herself. I had no idea why she was here. I thought they were coming to ask her questions.
The two people here that you weren't familiar with, they are taking a class. It's part of the requirement to come in. I don't know what type of class.
At a college, I would think.
It was required. Probably some type of political class or something.
No. I wish we had known that.
Jeez, they didn't pick a very good night for it. It'd be much more exciting than this.
We could have picked a really good board fight if we didn't know we were going to have a spectator. Okay, let's go to the manager's report. General manager.
This evening, you see some nice little blue water bottles in front of you. What we've done is we've costed out the cost of the water bottles that we were getting from Costco. And while we still need them for the guys in the field because we have to provide them water, we will have a supply here of those as well. We felt it would be more appropriate to move towards large 5 gallon bottle water instead of the little 16 ounce bottles. And so that these water bottles will be, they have your names on them, you can leave them here. And we ordered enough, so we're going to go ahead and sell them over at the community center and hopefully get $5 each for them. And if they were $2.50 each, that covers the cost of a bottle. So
my question would be, I know we're going to reuse these bottles.
Yes.
Who's going to clean them after we leave them
there? Carol.
Because you won't know who's and who isn't.
Your name is on the back, on the bottom.
It doesn't stay.
Is it already putting on?
It'll be fixed.
Smeared right our names on the lid.
This is just day one.
The smeared one will be Kevin.
Yeah, I don't care much about the bottle, it's true, I'm the lid, I'm
concerned
about it.
Now you have to be nice to us.
I'm just going to bring a bottle of water with me.
I smelled mine first.
Carol will be taking care of this.
I think these will be good.
Is this in your job description, Carol?
Yes.
Other duty has a sign.
Chief bottle washer, it's right there.
Watch the board's bottles. And the vodka you're using is very weak.
Is it?
Anything else, Rick? That can't be it.
I can't think of anything right now.
Kidding.
Nope. I got things, but you'll get them later.
District legal.
I have nothing.
Thank you. Committee updates, community center status, there is no report. Correspondence, you've all seen that. Public records requests. Future agenda items. Marianne, anything?
No.
Bill?
Not at this time.
Kevin?
No, I've just encouraged staff to make sure that they continue to look into any grants that may be available continually. With regards to
funding,
for drought, yeah.
For anything.
Actually, I do have something. That That grant is in, the grant deadline, I believe, is middle to late June, and there's a grant workshop specifically on that subject matter in May that I will be attending.
Awesome. Well, we don't miss the deadlines. Good.
Chris?
No, good. Thanks.
Okay, we're going to adjourn back into closed session. Am I correct?
So I will you are correct.
I will adjourn us to closed session.
See you, Virgil.
Thanks, Virgil.
Bye, Virgil.
Carol?
So, Rich, in my quick things,
you can turn off the big recorder and get out.
We have $1.8 million.
I have a question.